from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. Hey, Marianne.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Good. Hey, you're just getting to know our special guest today. In fact, last Thursday at our Ministry Leaders Network, you were a part of that,
yeah.
And you got to see and talk with him a little bit. And so we're glad to have Pastor Kevin Horath in the studio, and I think you're going to formally introduce him. And as you know, Marianne, usually we're about 6 or 8 minutes into the program before we introduce our special guest, but we're going to do it right away because we have some great resources, 3 or 4 different books in front of us that he's produced, and he's a pastor in the Decatur area with a thriving ministry, and I've gotten to know him through some discussions, some emails, and really appreciate his heart for reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and he was a part of last Thursday's gathering where many of these pastors and ministry leaders are seeking after God to do something new in our area, because we have this legacy of the Urbana Missions Conventions coming every 3 years for many years, and
right.
Churches coming together for prayer and the National Day of Prayer and reaching internationals. But as a group, we really prayed through what God might be doing in the days ahead. And so Pastor Kevin got to be a part of that, and so I'm interested to share him with you all on this Testimony Tuesday.
Definitely. I'm so pleased to meet you. I'm so excited about your book.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Mark and Marianne, both, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very great. I'm excited about this. So this is the introduction about the author, Kevin P. Horath, author of the Factor Books series, is a dynamic speaker and teacher who has served as associate pastor of Hillside Bethel Tabernacle Church since 1997. He's also worked as a healthcare human resources professional for more than 30 years. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in management from the University of Illinois at Springfield. Kevin lives in Decatur, Illinois, with his wife, Kathy. They have 3 children, 3 grandchildren, 2 dogs, and 1 cat.
I figured you'd like that part, Marianne. 2 dogs
do.
And a cat.
I know.
We have dogs and cats,
oh,
too.
Okay.
We talk about dogs a lot here.
Yeah.
Okay. In their free time, Kevin and Kathy love to sail on Lake Decatur. His goal is to help others find a spiritually healthy approach to life through the realistic, practical application of biblical stories, characters, and principles. Visit his website at thefactorbooks.com, thefactorbooks.com.
Well, Pastor Kevin, I received your books a few weeks ago. The other day I told you, I think it was between 3 and 4:30 in the morning that I was reading through them. I really wanted to be prepared for today's interview, and I learned a lot about donkeys, how God has used donkeys, how donkeys oftentimes can model or remodel some of the things that donkeys do, how donkeys can get a bad rep,
right,
and mischaracterized, if you will, and some of the positive things, how God has used donkeys to bring Jesus into Jerusalem and kings and those that were going to be in great leadership roles, prophets, and some other various twists in the humor. I really highly recommend this book, and so appreciate you sending me a copy, but it's The Donkey Factor, Living a Life Used by God. But you also have 2 other resources. It's kind of like a series, a devotional series, The Pharaoh Factor, Living with a Hardened Heart, and The Elijah Factor, Living the Double Portion Life. And so before we get into some of the specifics of these books, and I loved the life lessons through the donkey that I learned, tell us a little of your faith journey.
Sure. Well, my name is Pastor Kevin Horath. My biography was read a few moments ago, but since that was written, I need to update it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I was associate pastor at a church for over 25 years, I'm now the lead pastor of our church. My father, Pastor Donald Horath, founded our church in 1961, and he was pastor for 60 years. And that's almost unheard of these days, right? And he just recently decided he's not retired, but he's maybe what they call retired, put on a new set of tires,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But he's kind of stepping back from the full-time ministry, the lead pastor, and now I am. So I've been doing that for about 2 months now. my faith journey is born and raised in the church, right? But I do remember a decision point when I made my own personal commitment to Jesus. And that was around 8 or 9 years old. And I remember it was during some films we were watching. This is back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
A Thief in the Night. I don't know if you remember you're ever hearing about those, but it's about the Second Coming. And it kind of scared me, I'll be honest. It was almost a fearful thing. But I learned as my walk with the Lord went on, it was not so much a fear walk, it's a love walk. And I wanted to serve the Lord. I felt His call as early as 12, 13 years old. And we had a summer youth program I'd go to every year. And man, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew God was going to use me. And I really was seeking after the Lord. And it was not too long after that, it was in the summer of 1985, that I was diagnosed with a skin condition called psoriasis, which also developed into psoriatic arthritis. Mm. And I like to use a phrase, if I'm going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Mm.
It means if you're going to be big, you know, go all out. Well, with my disease, I went all out. It was major. And sometimes I was covered 80, 90% of my body with plaque psoriasis.
Oh, wow.
And I found out while I was on fire for God and I had this passion, this love for God that was so high on the spectrum, I found myself getting angry with God. And that passion swung to the other side. The pendulum swung, and I was angry at God because I felt like, God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? And I did something that I really do not recommend anybody ever do. I demanded God give me what I deserve.
Oh, dear. I'm not going to ever say that.
No, don't ever say that, because
the other thing you do is never pray for patience,
yeah,
because God's going to really...
Okay, let's work on that.
And I found myself in the hospital. It was in the middle of the 90s, and I didn't know if I was going to live or die. And it was scary. It was very scary. My daughter was 5 years old at the time.
Oh, my.
And I remember she came up to visit me, and to this day we're not sure exactly what happened. We think it was a reaction to medicine or something. We still don't know. But I turned erythrodermic, which means my skin turned red from head to toe and began to peel off.
Oh,
my
cool.
Heart was racing. It was awful. It was terrible. And my daughter came to visit me and left. And then I found myself thinking, okay, what happens if I die? What is my daughter going to remember about her dad? Mm-hmm. What is she going to think of me? Was I a man of God? Was I a great man? What's she going to think? And I began to examine my heart, and I recognized my relationship with God is one thing, and that's important, right? We've got to have that personal relationship. But my relationship with God is also affecting people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that I have an influence on my daughter. And I told God, I said, look, God, I don't know if I'm going to live or die, but it's okay either way. But whatever happens from this point, I'm going to serve and I'm going to follow you. And I made that commitment. And it was steps. I mean, God and I still have honest, hard mm-hmm. conversations. That's okay to have, mm-hmm. right? We can do that. But it was a step process. And I began by even starting with a support group. That people have the same condition that I have, and trying to help people in my community, and just trying to learn and grow how we can use these things that are coming against us. I had a hardened heart, and that is the focus of one of the books that I wrote. And I knew that I had to look at the Exodus and the Pharaoh of the Exodus to maybe understand what it's about, because he was a prime example in Scripture. I want to know, God, did you do this to me, or did I do this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there a way out of this? And as I studied that character and began to see my own characteristics in my own life and how it lined up, it was eye-opening. And I recognized there is a way out of this hardened heart scenario. And the way out is by heeding God's word. Pharaoh, he didn't heed God's word. In fact, he said, who is God that I should listen to him? Who is Yahweh, actually, if you read the translation correctly?
That's right.
Who is Yahweh? See, Pharaoh was a religious man. They had all kinds of gods. All kinds of religion, right? But he did not know who Yahweh was. So who is he that I should listen to him? And I found this fascinating. I guess I knew this all along, but it never really hit me. The children of Israel, who watched this competition between God and Pharaoh, they hardened their own hearts wandering in the desert. They saw what happened to Pharaoh. How did they fall into the same trap? Because they didn't heed God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Seems so simple, but yet it's hard. And that was the problem in my life. I wasn't heeding God's word. I was being selfish. I was being angry. And anger is not a problem. Anger is not a sin. That's an emotion. What becomes a sin is how we react to that right. anger. And that's where God had to take me down a notch or two to get my attention. And
what happened. I'm curious. Was the Pharaoh factor? All your books are called the factor.
Yeah.
And so there's the Pharaoh factor, the Elisha factor, the donkey factor. Mm-hmm. So was the Pharaoh factor this living with a hardened heart? Was that the first one?
Actually, the first book was the Elisha factor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Believe it or not.
Okay. Tell us about that, too.
That was a sermon series that I preached, and it was based upon mostly about the double portion. In my circles, there's been a lot of what I would say just misunderstanding of what a double portion means. In fact, I've heard people say, and they mean well, and it sounds good. It's almost like bumper sticker theology, if I could use that term, or a meme. You know, like, I want a double dose of the Holy Ghost. It's like, well, wait a minute. Do I have the Holy Spirit in my
okay.
life or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? God has already given me all. How much more do I need to ask for? And so some people thought and taught that the double portion was something extra. And they say, well, Elisha asked to be twice as good as Elijah. But no, the double portion really is the right of inheritance. If you look in Scripture, when the Bible talks about a double portion, if a father had two sons...
The firstborn,
that's right. They would divide the estate into thirds. The firstborn would get two-thirds. The second child would get one-third. So the firstborn got
I'm a third child. What'd they get?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm
well,
the third
anyway,
child,
keep,
too.
No, just keep talking. That's okay.
No, if there
I'm
were three,
curious.
If there were three children, they would divide it.
So the first two got everything.
The first one would get a double portion still.
Okay.
And then
we'll
the other
just,
two would get
that's
a segment.
We'll just go on from here.
You and me, Marianne, we're getting the crumbs under the table.
Okay, yeah. Whatever.
But it's about the right of inheritance. Right. And so Elisha was simply asking Elijah to be the rightful heir of the ministry. He wasn't asking to be twice as powerful or twice as good as Elijah. He just wanted to be the formal...
like the recipient?
Recipient, or, heir.
Oh, have you ever heard this, Mark? I don't know.
No,
this.
But it makes sense, so I'm nodding my head.
So the double portion is the portion of the firstborn. It's the two-thirds.
That's right. It's not double. How can a father bequeath more than he owns? You can't. That's physically impossible.
Or like you're saying, if you're getting the Holy Spirit, one portion is enough. You don't need a second portion because one portion is enough.
That's right. But here's where this thought goes, okay? The firstborn right of inheritance is Jesus.
Right,
the Bible tells
us
he's firstborn of all creation. The right of the double portion is his. But the Bible tells us we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. So when we're born again, we are brought into the double portion, the right of inheritance.
I have to be third all the time.
You don't know.
Don't mind me. Go ahead.
You don't have to be third. There's no second generation Christians, right? When we are born again, we have the right of the double portion. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's time, and this is what I had to think about, it's time to step out in that anointing and in that authority. Not that we can go around, you know, commanding things, but, man, we are somebody in Christ. Yeah. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, and that ought to excite us.
That's pretty powerful.
Right.
That's a lot to think about. And then, so Elisha factor, Pharaoh factor, and now the donkey factor.
The donkey factor.
Factor is where I said I was up throughout.
You sat up and read that
overnight. Yeah, and I was so encouraged because we, both Marianne and I and our family, Holly and Esther, we love animals. I mean, we have our chickens and our guinea, and we had a bunny. The bunny we kind of let loose, and we see him every once in a while.
I saw him out in your yard once.
Yeah, but we have our golden retriever and neighbor cats, and so we've always had a lot of animals, deer, and we have six bird feeders. But the donkey, you really helped elevate my opinion on how God has used the donkey and yet also points of application for us. So take us through some of your discoveries on the donkey.
Sure. Well, as you pointed out, my series is called the Factor Series.
Yeah.
So the point of that is there are factors in our life that influence us. And what I tried to do is find factors in Scripture that are maybe obscure, maybe a little not as well known as others, and I want to pull those out and apply them to our life. Now, I'm not searching for things to find. I want things that are there in Scripture that we just sometimes just gloss over. So to your point on the donkey factor, here's how this came out, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but this is what happened. I was associate pastor at the time, and I was preaching one Sunday a month. My father was preaching the other Sundays, and 4 years ago, I think it was approximately 4 years ago, my Sunday fell on Palm Sunday to preach. And my first reaction was, oh, really? Palm Sunday? I wanted Easter Sunday.
Oh.
That's the Super Bowl of Christian holidays, right? And that was the wrong attitude to have, too. And so I thought, okay, you know, we've all heard the story. Jesus rides on a donkey. The palm branch is Hosanna. And the same people who cried Hosanna one day, a few days later, say crucify him, right? And we've heard the story over and over and over. And it's a great story. I'm not trying to minimize that.
Great and sad.
Yeah, right. But I wanted to look at it from a new angle. And I thought about, as I was thinking about these different factors, looking at the donkey. And I knew there was a prophecy in Zechariah that the king, the Messiah, was going to come in riding on a donkey, lowly. And I thought, well, wow. But if you read on in that passage in Zechariah, most of the time we just stop at that one verse. But if you read the next verse, it is so powerful about when Jesus comes again and when he comes with power and authority. And so I wanted to look at the why a donkey? Why did it have to be a donkey? And I discovered that a lot of important people rode donkeys. Prophets, priests, kings, all rode donkeys in Scripture. And so that was the common mode of transportation. It was nothing quite unusual about that. And then I started researching a little bit more. And then I discovered a verse in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. Can't say that I ever knew this before. And this verse said that, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the verse right in front of me, but basically if the Hebrews had a donkey and that donkey gave birth and had a colt, the Hebrew had to make a decision. Am I going to kill this donkey? God said you're going to have to break its neck, or you could sacrifice a lamb in its place. And I got to thinking about it a little bit more. Now, wait a minute. Why did they have to break the donkey's neck? It's because the donkey was unclean. Donkey was an unclean animal. And so you could not sacrifice a donkey to the Lord because it was not clean. And because of what happened during the Passover, God said, the firstborn of every creature is mine, your sons and all your animals. And so the Hebrew is in a quandary here. The donkey's unclean. I can't sacrifice it. So God said, then you've got to kill it or you can redeem it.
Right.
And the Hebrew had to make a decision at that point. Do I keep the lamb, which was very important to their lifestyle in those days, or do I want to keep this donkey? And if I want this donkey, I've got to sacrifice the lamb. And so a decision had to be made. I wonder over the years, how many times was the donkey saved? How many times was the lamb saved? We'll never know. But I thought about, wow, God looked down at me and saw this donkey of a man and had to make a decision. Do I want to save him? And if so, it's going to cost the life of the Lamb of God. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And God made that decision to sacrifice the Lamb to redeem this old donkey. And it's such a powerful story. I mean,
wow.
It just is amazing. Donkeys are given a bad rap. They're not stubborn like we would think. They're smart. They're
very intelligent.
They're cautious. They're not going to do something that puts them in danger. So they look around and make sure that what's ahead of them is safe. Balaam's donkey is a great story of that. The donkey stopped because the donkey saw the angel of the Lord.
Right.
Balaam didn't. So the donkey stopped. In fact, the angel, which I believe was actually a pre-manifestation of Jesus, the angel of the Lord, said, look, Balaam, if your donkey had kept going, you both would have been killed.
Right.
But she stopped. And we need some more donkeys carrying the word of God, but stopping when we need to stop,
mm-hmm.
going when we need to go. And so being called a donkey is not the insult that we think today. It's actually quite the compliment.
And what I love about your book, Living a Life Used by God, The Donkey Factor by Kevin P. Horath, is the many illustrations you give, but a lot of lighthearted humor and puns in there and a lot of different things that it's a humorous read, but it brought a lot of conviction, healthy conviction, too.
I probably dance a little close to the line here on some of these things. Because when growing up, I studied the King James Version of the Bible, and that's what I quote the most. And so the term for a donkey is a little different than we use today.
Yes, but, we don't use that word.
Right. And the term that we use is donkey, but the King James has another word. And so I play on that just a little bit. And when I preached the sermon, I thought my dad was going to come unglued. But I said, I'm reading from the King James. This is what it is.
Yeah. It's interesting because science tends to keep proving various things in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And science has taught us or showed us now that so many of the animals have really remarkable, not just intellect, but languages.
Mm-hmm.
And ability to understand languages and learn them. And I know crows do, elephants do. There's mm-hmm. so much. It's so rich and they're so brilliant. And this donkey in the Bible that talked, everyone acts like, oh, that's just, you know, I mean, that doggy didn't know what he was doing. I bet he did.
Yeah.
He was intellectual. He knew what he was doing. Yeah. He just didn't know how to speak the language of the time.
And God allowed him to.
Yeah, he did. God did allow him to.
Or her. Actually, it was a her.
Oh, was it?
It was a her, yeah.
Okay, how do we know that?
The Bible says her.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Yeah. Oh, I got it now.
I mean, the Bible says it's got to be true, right?
Hey, yeah. That's like last week, Marianne, when we had Rob in the studio and we were featuring that gifted gal
in the Prime Lake Times.
And you're getting your field day of these incredible women. Now an incredible donkey.
The angel and stopped disaster, and it was a her.
And another her, very important regarding the donkey, is on Palm Sunday. A lot of people think there was just one donkey. But if you read Scripture and harmonize it, there were two.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's the Luke account, I think?
Matthew.
There were two donkeys?
Matthew has, two donkeys.
Okay, tell me.
The mom. Jesus told his disciples, go, and you're going to find these two donkeys. Take them and bring them to me.
And
so why is that important? Well, because the donkey was a colt. The donkey was under a year old. And as we just stated, donkeys are very careful animals. They've never been ridden, and it would not go if mom wasn't leading the way.
Oh, interesting.
And so it took mom leading this donkey for Jesus to ride on. So moms, man, we have an important role. I believe moms, you can change the world yourself. I believe that.
And you got to share that during a Mother's Day
message.
That's
right. And this is how this story actually came about. Moms can change. Women get a bad rap, too.
Oh, they don't?
Right?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, right? But moms are amazing. I've often said, well, you know, moms, if you spell mom backwards, it still spells
mom.
And when your world's turned upside down, what's mom spelled upside down?
Wow.
We need moms, right? We need
moms. That's pretty great.
And that mom led the donkey to Jesus. Moms, we got to lead our kids to Jesus.
The Donkey Factor, Living a Life Used by God. It's a devotional by Kevin P. Horth. And in our closing 30 seconds, how can they get a copy of this or get in touch with you?
The best way is through our website, www.thefactorbooks.com. The book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but the best way probably is through our website.
Thefactorbooks.com. We highly recommend it. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Kevin Horth, and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you,
and
have a great day and night.
Moment. Don't get nervous. Everybody's got a part. Just do it like we practice. Now, I told you there's no dog solos. All right. Now, Chicky, let's start that rhythm thing. That's it. That's good. Where's our bass? Floyd, either you join us or we're having bacon. That's more like it. All right. Yeah. Now you're starting to sound like something here. Hey, somebody get the label on the phone. This is working. I got an idea. Roll with me on this. What sound really good right here would be the voices of little children.
When the animals are in heaven,
yeah.
I can hardly wait to hear.